and I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made. I see the stars and I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation, or to take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I will bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, oh my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings
break every stronghold. Good morning. Whenever you sign on in the mornings and you hear that music, just pray in tongues. Just pray in tongues. Get in the spirit. You know, when we gather together in the morning, you know, we should spend the first 5 minutes or so on our prayer calls, you know, in an attitude of worship, you know, speaking in tongues. And, you know, having that attitude of worship there. All right. Can everybody hear me good this morning? Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Let me make sure Teresa made it in here. I don't see her. Hold on. Okay. All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. I'm so happy to see everybody on here. Yes, loud and clear. All right, Stephanie. Stephanie in the UK. All right, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. God is good and his mercy endures forever. I tell y'all what, I'm on fire this morning. I am so happy. Yesterday, to finish that Garden of Eden website, I'm so happy to have that done and to have that behind me, because now I can focus on, I'm doing the actual news tonight. Tonight's going to be very important. I have a lot of really important stuff to talk about tonight. And we're going to address one major thing this morning in the prayer call. We're going to go ahead and address it. But so tonight we have that, and then I'm getting everything set up for the Bible college. So what I'm going to do is just, instead of doing quarters like they do in a regular Bible college, we'll do monthly, okay? So those that sign up for that monthly class, you know, there'll be a deadline. And then that'll be the group that I'll work with for a month. And then the next month, we'll do another subject. So we'll move, you know, through various subjects. And each of them will build upon each other, precept upon precept. So the first thing we're going to deal with is identity. Who are we? So that's going to be the first thing. I'm very, very excited about it. You know, and I'm excited to see what God's going to do. I want to go ahead and read you the word for a minute, and then we're going to get into a little bit of politics. And it's not that I'm trying to do the news, but it is relevant to where we're at. Remember what I told you guys, this is how we're going to be going forward in the garden, you know, because remember that I still want to do my live streaming, you know, out here with the goats. They're so funny the way they roam around the backyard and the dogs and stuff, you know. So I still want to do that where it was like it was in 2020, where I just want to be free to be me, okay? And it just all comes together, Brad. I've tried to separate it. It's a nightmare. I'm telling you right now, it's a nightmare trying to separate it because it's just who I am. I mean, you know, God is the one that revealed all this to me, so I don't know what to say about it. You know, so these morning calls is really going to be the mix of it all, you know, because we're going to be dealing with what's happening in the world, and we're going to be praying about it, you know. So that's one of the things that we're going to address today. Okay, so if you can turn your Bible to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on that old dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now see, this is what is crazy. Because NAR teaches that that's where we're at right now. They think we're in the millennial reign. I'm like, people, are y'all crazy? The devil is not here in the millennial reign. We're nowhere near the millennial reign, people. The millennial reign is when the New Jerusalem comes down from heaven. Are we all sitting in the New Jerusalem? Absolutely not. Is God's face shining the city? Absolutely not. Are we walking around like kings and priests out here? We should be, but are we in that mode? No, we're not. So no, their theology of that preterist doctrine, the preterist, where they believe that everything happened in 70 AD and now we're in the millennial reign. See, right now we're getting ready. The Antichrist is taking his throne. The church is about to be martyred. The church is going to be raptured. The 144,000 are coming forth. The two witnesses are coming forth. The wrath of God is coming forth. And then we have the battle of Armageddon and then the millennial reign. So that's where this comes in. This is where this is at. Is right here at the battle of Armageddon. So he is cast up till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And I saw thrones. And another reason that I believe God is highlighting this book today is to let you know, bride, that although you're going to suffer, although you're going to see a lot of very hard things to look at, it's going to be okay. It is going to be okay. Because soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we are going to see the King. But we're going to be seeing this happen. Although we see the dragon rising up out of the sea right now, and the beast rising up out of the sea, and they've got these big old fangs, and they're growling, ha! We know who our God is. We know the God that we serve, how mighty and powerful and glorious he is. Remember, remember, remember. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they say, we're going to throw you into the pit of fire. And then we'll look at them and say, you know, if God don't want me to go in there, I will not go in there. But if you throw me in there and God chooses me to go in there, he could be in there with me. Or he can make me disappear as the will of the Lord be done. So your threats mean nothing to me, you know, and that's what makes the devil mad, because he wants to get you all stirred up in fear. You know, fear is false evidence appearing real. Fear, false evidence appearing real. But this in Revelation chapter 20, this is what is coming. This is the truth. And I saw thrones. And they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Okay, let's pause here a minute. The witness of Jesus. Do you know that those of us that was on that 3-day fast, that was the first mandate that God gave us on day one? I want you, bride, to concentrate on your witness. Concentrate on your testimony, because that is how we overcome, by the word of our testimony. See, it's because of this, your testimony of Jesus, of which they hate, is why you're going to be beheaded. And for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast. Hold on here a minute. You mean these people that are going to be beheaded are the ones that stood up for the word of God? Can you believe it? And which had not worshipped the beast. It's these people were beheaded, the ones that did not worship the beast. Look at this next one. Neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads. Or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So this is what we have to look forward to, bride. We may have to suffer. We may have to be beheaded. We may have to be publicly humiliated, just like our king was. We may have to be rejected and despised. And you're going to see what I'm talking about when I get done with this scripture and I play you some audio that I have for you this morning. You're going to be like, we're in trouble. And we are, bride. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So you mean to tell me that in the 1,000-year millennial reign, that those that are beheaded will have an opportunity to live in that great city? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? You know, I've never noticed this before until today. Because I've never really, I guess, taken it to heart that we really are about to be beheaded. I mean, this scripture is like real right now. The scripture is alive. Yes, it is. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. And on such the second has no power. Uh-oh. So what is the first resurrection? Is the first resurrection those that are beheaded for the witness of Jesus and they are living and reigning with Christ 1,000 years? And then is the second resurrection those that have no power because they are yet dead? They're still dead. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So that is the decapitated ones. Okay, the beheaded ones. Now, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. I know I've asked this question many times. Why is he going to be let back out? It's kind of weird. I still don't know, really. I don't have an answer for you on that. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. See, this is what bothers me, and I hate this about Steve and Yana. They do this all the time. They'll say Gog and Magog war is about to happen. No, it's not, people. I don't care who's telling you this. It's going to be after the millennial reign. It's right here in Scripture. If you believe that Gog and Magog is about to happen, then you're a preterist. Because you don't believe the Antichrist and everything's being set up. You don't believe in the eschatology of what is happening right here. You believe it's already happened way back here. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know what Stephen Yonner believes on that, but I've heard him talk about Gog and Magog. But the Gog and Magog war ain't until Satan is loosed again way down the road. Okay? To gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. So there's another battle coming. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. So God wins it for them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. See? You have to understand this end time scenario of who the beast is. Okay. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're three. Three different entities, but they're one. Okay? Me and Dennis. Two different entities, but we're one. It's a mystery. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, there is a woman on YouTube that swears that the Holy Spirit is a woman. And she actually has a good little argument going. I mean, she has a, it does make you think, and let's just go down this road. Y'all know how I say this. Let's go down this road. Let's go down this road just a minute. Okay, so let's say, all right, you know, God is the one, the inventor of the family. Okay, so you have God the Father. Holy Spirit is the woman, the wife. The Holy Spirit is wisdom, right? Wisdom is a woman. This is what this woman says, all right? So the Holy Spirit is the woman, and then Jesus is the Son. So it's a family unit. They're three in one. Now, that's the way she explains it. But, of course, we've always understood the Holy Spirit to be male in nature, you know. We refer to him as he. But it would make sense in the, you know, common sense that the Holy Spirit would be a woman, because if you think of the Holy Spirit is a teacher, that's a woman. Holy Spirit's a comforter, that's a woman. Holy Spirit is a guide and pushes everything to the husband, that's Jesus, that's the woman. You know, the power of the family, that's the woman. But I was going to tell you this, I've never went down this road of this, but it does complete the family unit. But anyways, okay, so whether either way you want to believe, they're still three in one. Okay, now, because Jesus is the face of God. God is a spirit. Jesus is the face of God. He is the one that was the born in flesh, made flesh. All right, now, but the devil is the same way in this end time scenario. Okay, you have Satan, you have Lucifer. So the three is, you have the beast, which is AI. Beast is like God the Father. The beast is the brain. God the Father is the brain. Okay, so the beast is the brain that's really running everything. That's AI. Okay, now, the hive mind, I just want to kind of throw this in there. The hive mind is this where the beast is in all these people and he's taking over their mind. So thus, it's like the Tower of Babel. You know, they're all together in this global unity and don't even know it, you know. And so you have the beast is the AI, and then you have the Antichrist, which is like Jesus Christ. He will be the face of Lucifer. Okay. Then you have the false prophet is like the Holy Spirit. The false prophet is the one that pushes everybody to the beast, like the Holy Spirit pushes everybody to Jesus. See? So they are like three in one, but they're three different entities working together. We see AI, and we see that, you know, computers, we see, you know, the data nodes, and we see how the beast is together in that atmosphere, that realm. And then we see the Antichrist is a human form of the devil. And then you have the false prophet, which is in a human form, but the false prophet is what pushes towards, right? So anyways, so let's go back over here to the scripture. Going back to Gog and Magog. Okay, so verse 9. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from heaven, out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. See, they're already there. Why? The beast is there because they've already been thrown in it from the Battle of Armageddon. Y'all hear what I'm saying? The Battle of Armageddon is when Jesus comes back on that white horse and he comes back with all of us that was beheaded. We actually get to ride on a horse. Won't that be cool? And we get to come back and we get to go to battle with Jesus, and we battle all of Satan and his army. See, that's what they're doing right now with this infrastructure. They really think they're going to be able to beat Jesus in this battle of Armageddon. So they have all this power in the sky, you know, through all these satellites and all this. And, you know, they're getting their instruction from these fallen angels. Okay, so let's continue. So I saw a great white throne, verse 11, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for him. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. See, I believe, and this is just my opinion because I definitely cannot prove this, but this is my theory, is that our DNA, which is like a helix, you know, it's like a scroll. And scientists have discovered that our DNA can house so much data. I mean, it can basically house the entire world of data. That's how powerful our blood system is, you know. And so I believe that in this moment right here of time that the Bible's talking about, that every person's blood will testify of itself. You remember when Cain killed Abel and then God said, you know, Abel's blood is crying out to me. It's talking, you know. So our scroll, you know, that's being rolled out is that our blood is documenting everything. You know, it is keeping record of every way I think and everything I do and, you know. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead. So this is the day of judgment which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. That's a pretty scary thought. And I tell these people, you know, out here, I tell them, let me just tell you something. You know, these people that come against me because they think they can do better than me or know how I should be doing all this and they come against me in a big way or whatever. I just tell them like this, listen, people. You know, we're only here for a short amount of time and you're going to answer to God for doing this because you are supposed to be doing something. What are you doing? Because all of us are going to stand before the throne. And we're going to answer to God for being idle and being in other people's business and not being about God's business. We're going to answer for that. What has God called you to do? This is the most important thing about our existence because our time is so short. There is no time to waste. There's no more procrastination we should be doing. You know, it should be, you know, it is what it is. I've got a job to do, you know, and I don't want to waste any more time because the devil will convince us that we have more time. We have more time. We really don't, you know. And so, every man will be judged according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It's going to be a very sad day. This is hell is a real thing. And there is a lot of religions today that quit preaching in hell. They just want to be, you know, all about the fluff. I call it the fluff. But, you know, hell is very serious. You know, I'll tell you a few things I know about hell. Did you know that people actually have memories in hell? They can remember every time that God tried to draw them to them. they can remember that. And they knew every time they rejected God. I'll never forget that meeting we was going to, you know, up here on the hill. There was a couple there, and they were bound up in drugs and stuff. And I'll never forget the day, because the guy that was preaching, you know, kept pleading, you know, for a couple of weeks prior to that, you know, for people to get saved, and they wouldn't respond. But I'll never forget this day when the preacher said it like this. He said, "I am telling you, this may be your last time. You need to give your life to Jesus," you know, to the group. That couple was like a block of ice. You could just feel it. It was like an utter resistance to the call of God. And it wasn't even a few days later they were thrown in prison. And now that's where they sit for the next 30 years, they say. But during that 30 years, they need to be thinking about their soul. Because they think prison is bad. You just wait. Hell is not playing around. You know, I interviewed this woman one time. And she said, you know, that God took her down into hell. It was horrible. Yeah, it was horrible. She said, I'll just tell you one thing about it. She said that there was rooms down in there. You know, like that one woman that wrote that book about hell, I forgot what she called it, something of hell. She said that, you know, everybody was down in pits. And she said, you know, it was like a body, that you have the head and the stomach, and ever what your sin was that brought you there put you in a certain part of the body of hell. So the head was all the preachers, the ones that was preaching. And they were up there with Satan himself, and he would just torture them constantly. And she said that they was in there preaching in those pits. Even though they was in hell, they was preaching. And then she was walking with Jesus by one of them preachers, and he asked Jesus to forgive him in hell, this preacher. And Jesus told him it was too late. You know, but the other woman that I interviewed said that they had rooms. And there was a room she looked in, and there was people lined up outside the door to go in this room, and there was a monster. And he would take the human. See, they hate you, okay? They're real monsters down in there. They're really monsters. And they hate you because you're the image of God. You are like a beautiful vessel. You have a head, you have arms. You know, you have a torso and legs. You know, you're clean looking. You're not like a monster, disfigured and everything. And so he would take the humans and he would put them on this chopping block, and he'd just chop them to pieces. And then they would come back together when it was done. They'd scream and everything. She said that they would feel everything just like they was alive. And then they would come back together when he was done, all their pieces, and then he'd throw them over his shoulder and take another human and do that. But he was mocking them the whole time. Mocking them about how he hates the image that they are, you know. And that's why when I interviewed that woman, that Rosemary, you know, Elon's babysitter, it really brought it to my mind how serious this is of what we're facing with President Trump. You know, because I told you guys that, you know, I actually loved President Trump at one time. You know, when I went up there to the White House, you know, I thought I was his prophet, and I was there. I had already prayed 40 days for him in a big, you know, should do with some other prophets, and, you know, really just mowing it down for him, and then traveled the country 36 days, 18,000 miles, interviewing all the Americans. What do you think? We got a Christian president. Isn't this exciting? Because we just got out of Obama, see. So by the time God brought me up there, you know, I kept telling everybody, I'm going to pass out when he gets near me because I'm almost going to go crazy, you know. So I did. You know, me being in the press corps, I was the lowest man on the totem pole, so I had to stand in the back. And then, so while I was waiting in the back, he was going over to his helicopter, and he walked right in front of me, and I jumped up and down screaming, "We love you, Mr. President. We love you." And he stopped and looked at me because I humiliated myself and ruined my career, you know, doing this in front of all these professionals. I lost it. But the point, the only reason I'm telling you this is to show you how much love I had for him. And then when I discovered who, when God revealed why he brought me up there to show me what the truth was, and that all of this is an illusion and a lie, that he's really not a Christian, that he really is working against us, and he's, the way he talks is deception to the church type of deal. Because I started asking myself, why does he do this? Because I used to repent. I felt like I was his intercessor, see. So I used to repent to God for him all the time. You know, and I'd say, "Lord, I'm so sorry he did that, Lord. Please forgive President Trump," you know. So whenever he cussed our God at that rally in July of 2019, and he said the GD word twice, the press corps mocked me about it because they used to call me the Trump girl because I, you know, stand in front of his office and pray for him all the time. And so I'm like, I have no idea what y'all are talking about. Because I was working when he said it, so I didn't know. So when I went and listened to it, I was horrified. Horrified, let me tell you. And I cried and cried and cried to God. Oh, telling him how sorry I was that my president of my country would do that to him. I was so horrified. And then God spoke to me. I heard him plain as day. And he said he was testing the church. I said, "What? For what? You know, what are they, what's he testing the church for?" And he said to see how loyal they are. Now, see, at this point in time, he had been in office 2.5 years, and he had given the church a seat at the table, let them come in the White House all the time, doing their praise stuff and all the worship and prayer, and they'd post it all over social media so everybody would think there's revival in the White House, and you know. So he did all this to deceive them, to make them think that he was working for them. So he was testing, and he already had, you know, some things. Yes, Baxter, that's the name, Denise. Thank you, thank you. He had already gave them the seat at the table, and he had already started that faith department with, what's her name? Paula White. Paula White Kane. And so he was already doing all this stuff to cater to the church to make them think he was really working for them and whatnot. And he was going through all his offenses, all the Mueller report, and oh, they're trying to get me here and there. You know, so he's getting them all mad and getting them corrupted. So when he cussed our God at a rally in front of all them children and everything, crickets, crickets, Not a backlash one. I was appalled. I was like, what is the evangelical saying now? Somebody's got to be addressing this, because 2 months prior, whenever he started catering to the LGBT, I was already trying to get an interview with the evangelicals because I had been with them at the Trump balls, that they used to have at the Trump Hotel and everything. But they were crickets. Anything Trump would do that would be against God and against the church, they would be quiet as a mouse, or they would defend him. Like, for instance, whenever he did the Abraham Accords, which we all knew was the final Bible prophecy we was waiting on, to do peace between those two countries and everything. When he did it, they said, oh no, this is not end time prophecy. They said, it's a good thing that he's doing this over there. Totally defended him. Even with the vaccine, defended him and promoted it and all this other stuff. But the point that I'm trying to make is, so at this time, I'm all in love with Trump. And now, when I discovered who he was and God pulled me out of D.C., it took me about 6 months to get over it. Because it was so devastating. I didn't even want to do news anymore. I was done. I can't believe the deception's this bad. And then, I told you about me, waiting on True News, trusting that they were going to tell everybody the truth, because I was like, yes! I had been with them in the United Nations and stuff. So I thought they was legit, and I was like, yes, I don't have to do the news. It's not about me. As long as the church is getting the truth, I'll support them. I don't care. When I was in the White House and I was, for Trump and, on the NAR train, because I didn't know any different, I tried to merge with CBN. I thought they were legit. They hooked me up with what they call like the godfather of NAR, which I didn't know it was NAR, but he was the one that started CBN. So they hooked me up with him. So I was trying to merge with CBN because this is what I told them. It's not about me. I am the only evangelical in the press corps. And, y'all are not in here, so why don't we merge and work together? Is what I was trying to tell them, but I'm glad it never worked. I'm glad it never panned out, because they're far too. It took me about a month, watching True News to see how they deceive people. And then I said, no way. I ain't trusting nobody to tell the bride the truth. If I can't trust you, I ain't trusting nobody. And y'all sitting there saying you're True News. What a farce. Because they would tell them, this was back when I was first discovering what is a Zionist, And this is back, too, when I met Steve and Yana. And so I discovered that a Zionist really believes that there's two covenants, that the Jews, that Israel is all Jews. And they don't need Jesus because they have a covenant, the first covenant. And this is what Zionists believe. And that they'll still go to heaven based on that first covenant. This is what that Judeo-Christian farce is. When they say Judeo-Christian, just know. And then that's what they mean, is the Judeo is the supreme and then the Christian is underneath. And this is why they're trying to change the foundation of our country, because they want to take the Christian, which is on the top, because this is what we always was. And now they want to put us back on the bottom and they want to be on the top. And now that I'm at this point, I'm going to play you an audio. What a farce. Now, this is going to show you guys how bad it's fixing to get. It's fixing to get so bad out there because Trump has these advisors that are or was, now they're NAR, but they know how to reach the evangelicals. Listen, my master's degree is corporate communications. This is how we roll. Okay. Here's how it is. They have met with President Trump. They have said, okay, your target audience, if you want these people to take the jab, which is part number one worked. That's why 70% took it. You're going to have to talk like an Egyptian, act like an Egyptian, and walk like an Egyptian. You know, but you're going to have to talk like a Christian, walk like a Christian, and act like a Christian in order to get them to take this thing. You got to please them. You got to tickle their ears. You got to give them what they want a little piece at a time. And that's what he did. Okay. So after the 2 years, when he knew that they was loyal, bam, he went over the edge. He did not cater to the church after that for nothing for the next 2 years. He went off the deep end with LGBT, sent them across the country to spew all their vomit in 2020 to get all the Democrats to leave the Democrat Party. All that vomit over there, and to come over to the Republican Party and corrupt the Republican Party. And that's exactly what he did, and he called it America First. So he did that, and then he stacked all these offices since 2018 to where now it's all set up, because you had two elections for 2024. So you had 2018 and 2020. So he stacked them all. Okay, so now he's running again. He needs the Christians again. Now he's talking towards the Christians. He's catering to them again. Although he did his RNC such a joke that I have to say the DNC blew them out. If I had to pick which one was better, I would pick the DNC, even though I have never supported Democrats. I'm talking about their communications delivery. Trump dropped the ball. He had the perfect opportunity at the RNC to speak unity to the American people. I just got shot. Listen, you know, I know that I've said things that have hurt some people. You know, somebody could have advised him, be real with the people. He could have got so many more people if he would have humbled himself. Instead, it was the same old vomit. And then to have all these religions come up there on a platform, such as that indie woman, come up there and do her satanic godless chants up there in front of all them Christians and get up there and pray all that Kabbalah crap with your hands and your Kabbalah hands and all, you know what I'm saying? This is what that, I mean, the Democratic rally wasn't nothing like that. They did have the abortions outside, you know, and that one, that's the bad thing. But I'm talking about the delivery of it. Okay, so anyways, he didn't care about the Christians then. And then, after, you know, of course, he did the little baptism thing with the blood, you know, before that RNC deal. So the king was put in place then. Well, then Elon comes on the scene. And now they did all this advertising out there that Elon is a Christian. Oh, he was raised. And what's funny is they did that documentary of Elon that he was a Christian, raised a Christian, and he just kind of left the Lord a little bit, and then he come back, you know. I'm like, what an everlasting farce on a stick from hell. Because we just sat there and interviewed Rosemary, who turned around and told us what he really was, you know. And it really opened my eyes. After I interviewed Rosemary, I was done with Trump. I was like, oh my gosh. I see now that I still had too much love for that man. Because after I interviewed her, I realized, oh, I really am dealing with Satan here. This ain't funny. This ain't funny. When she talked about, you know, what happened when he was a kid, when he wanted her to meet his friends and they were in hell and he took her to hell with him. I mean, that's some creepy stuff, man. You know, and it made me realize, you know, because I told you I interviewed these people and said, we got giants coming. So they're really not giants. This is hell being leashed in the earth, where our natural eyes are going to be seeing these monsters, these evil beings, you know. And so that's what I believe God is preparing us for, is so that our eyes will not see and be fearful, but that our spirit man, you know, would rise up, which is why we need the Bible college. All right, now, let's go back to the audio. Okay, I'm about to play you an audio of something President Trump said just 2 days ago. When you hear this, you ought to be thinking in your mind, we're in trouble. Because this, now that he's done all of what he's done, and he has told Christians, I need you to vote for me. What is wrong with you people? This will be the last time. I just need you just one more time, okay? That's what he said and how he said it. So now the Christians come out, they vote him in. So now I want you to hear what he's telling the Christians. Listen to this.
I'm proud to be partnering with my very good friend, Lee Greenwood, who doesn't love his song, God Bless the USA, in connection with promoting the God Bless the USA Bible. This Bible is the King James Version and also includes our Founding Father documents, yes, the Constitution, which I'm fighting for every single day very hard to keep Americans protected. Also, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the Pledge of Allegiance are all part of this God Bless the USA Bible, and it's just very important and very important to me. I want to have a lot of people have it. You have to have it for your heart, for your soul. Many of you have never read them and don't know the liberties and rights you have as Americans and how you are being threatened to lose those rights. It's happening all the time. It's a very sad thing that's going on in our country, but we're going to get it turned around. Religion and Christianity are the biggest things missing from this country, and I truly believe that we need to bring them back, and we have to bring them back fast. I think it's one of the biggest problems we have. That's why our country is going haywire. We've lost religion in our country. All Americans need a Bible in their home, and I have many. It's my favorite book. It's a lot of people's favorite book. This Bible is a reminder that the biggest thing we have to bring back America and to make America great again is our religion. Religion is so important. It's so missing, but it's going to come back, and it's going to come back strong, just like our country is going to come back strong. In the end, we do not answer to bureaucrats in Washington. We answer to God in heaven. Christians are under siege. We must protect content that is pro-God. We love God, and we have to protect anything that is pro-God. We must defend God in the public square and not allow the media or the left-wing groups to silence, censor, or discriminate against us. We have to bring Christianity back into our lives and back into what will be again a great nation. Our founding fathers did a tremendous thing when they built America on Judeo-Christian values. Now that foundation is under attack, perhaps as never before. What can we do? Stand up, speak out, and pray that God will bless America again. I'm proud to endorse and encourage you to get this Bible. We must make America pray again. Pray, get educated, get motivated, and stand with me and the legions of Americans asking God to bless our great nation, to bring our great nation back, and to make America great again. I'm proud to partner with Lee in this offering. He's a very special man, both as a talent, but maybe even more so as a human being. He's very, very special. And I think you all should get a copy of God Bless the USA Bible now and help spread our Christian values with others. There you have it. Let's make America pray again. God bless you, and God bless the USA.
Okay. Now, you know that the Christians listening to this is like, oh, what a music to my ears. Oh, this sounds so great, Judeo-Christian. We've got to restore the foundations of this country. Yes, President Trump. Yes, we really should. That is the Noahide Law. That's right, Denise. This is what he's talking about. And I'm wondering if this is not how they're going to label the new Christianity. This is where we're in trouble. Because NAR, which is who he's partnered with, have went all back to Hebrew roots, okay? And this is their version of Christianity, the two covenants. But see, you can't do that because you know the biggest covenant, which is Jesus. You hang him on the cross again. Paul talks about it. So, if President Trump is going to be targeting the church and going to be talking to them, oh, we got to have Christianity back. I'm standing up for all you Christians, okay? So we're just going to go back to our Judeo-Christian values. So what we're going to do is, you know, we're just going to kind of go back to the Old Testament and we're just going to, you know, get rid of the controversial stuff in the New Testament, which is all Paul. Remember what I told you, Brad, when God sent me to the White House last year, July of 2023, and told me to address what Stephen said before he was martyred up until where we're at now. And I asked the Lord, am I fixing to be martyred? You know, because why would you be asking me to do this? Because that's what happened to Stephen. But I had to go back and address Paul. And I had to say it in front of everybody, you know, live and everything. And I talked about the Jews that say they're Jews and are not. You know, and I had to speak it out about the Noahide laws. And I had to tell the world. I cannot believe that was my last time at the White House. Because I actually went in the White House that day. But anyway, having to address that this religion that they are trying to tell the world is a legit religion is not. It is not the true Christianity of the real Jesus, because Jesus that we know does not compromise. Let me repeat that. Jesus does not mix. He does not compromise. That's why he threw the tables over in the temple. No, no, no. This New Age Jesus, of which is such a farce, because like going off on another subject, you got RFK Jr., and I'm going to talk about this tonight in the news. But RFK Jr., you know, he traveled with Trump's people in 2020. And he began traveling over the next 4 years with Clay Clark, which is nothing but a charlatan. He is nothing but a farce on a stick because he is like a snake oil salesman, really. He does this business school and, you know, all of that stuff that they do, you know, empowerment and all this. And they did the Great Awakening versus the Great Reset, you know. But he had all them New Age doctors, you know, Carrie Madej, Sherry Tenpenny, all them people. And had them with the questionable character people, which was, what's his name? General Flynn. And he would be up there doing all his weird stuff, his weird satanic prayers in all these churches and stuff and cussing and carrying on. This is who RFK Jr. was partnered with. Dale Bigtree, all these people. Well, guess what? Here is RFK Jr., who's going to do Make America Healthy Again. Can you believe that he is his own cabinet? It's almost like he's still going to be a president, but he's going to be the president of the UN, is the way I see it. He has his own little department, kind of like a president would. And that's why he's calling his whole division MAHA, Make America Healthy Again. And guess who is his CEO, the head one that's working under him, that's running everything? Dale Bigtree. Yes, it is. New Age on a stick, Dale Bigtree. You know, so the whole thing is a farce. And that guy that they just put in, he wasn't over FEMA, but they just put him in over some big department. What was it? Oh, the border. The guy that he put over the border. Oh, he is Satan himself, man. He is evil on a stick. Angry bird on a stick. Department of Justice, angry bird. Well, he's the one that's going to be over the immigration. Now, I can just hear people say, that's okay. I don't like them either. I don't like all these refugees coming over here, kicking people out of their homeless shelters and everything else. And well, people, that could be you. You're only a hair away from being homeless anyway. I mean, all it takes is for them to shut down the money system and there you go, you know, to try to tell us, you know, that we have to be a part of this global ID in order to continue. No, thank you. So anyways, there's one other audio I want you guys to hear a little bit of, a clip of, because I want you to have a an understanding of what we are facing with President Trump. This one is him bragging on Jesus. Somebody made a video of it. Listen to this.
I believe in God. I believe in the Bible. I'm a Christian. I have a lot of reasons. I love people.
But you know, you still need help from the boss. We need help from the boss. That's what happened. We need help. Now they'll criticize me for that. How dare he say that? How dare he say that? No, I'll say it. I'll say it. I'll say it.
We stand tall. We stand proud. And we only kneel to Almighty God.
And above all else, we know this. In America, we don't worship government, we worship God. Benjamin Franklin reminded his colleagues at the Constitutional Convention to begin by bowing their heads in prayer. I remind you that we're going to start saying Merry Christmas again.
Somebody said to me the other day, you're the most famous person in the world by far. I said, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. They said, yes, you are. I said, no. They said, who's more famous? I said, Jesus Christ.
It is good to have a president who acknowledges a higher authority and recognizes the lordship of Jesus. Donald Trump decreases so that God increases, and he declares in America, we only worship God. In Psalm 33, verse 12, the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Hello, Anointed One, and welcome back to Anointed TV channel. Today we're going to see and hear the 47th President of the United States of America, Donald Trump, proclaiming Jesus is King for over 10 minutes in different forms. While Kamala Harris was caught mocking two young men for proclaiming Jesus is King in one of her rallies, Trump said that he was alive because of Jesus and he survived an assassination attempt on his life because God had a purpose for his life. This purpose is to make America great again. Watch this video to the very end and see why having a president who recognizes the lordship of Jesus Christ and views the Bible as a guide for national morals can be profoundly impactful for a nation.
And my faith took on new meaning on July 13th in Butler, Pennsylvania, where I was knocked to the ground, essentially, by what seemed like a supernatural hand. And I would like to think that God saved me for a purpose, and that's to make our country greater than ever before.
At great risk, I will tell you, and pounced on top of me so that I would be protected. There was blood pouring everywhere, and yet, in a certain way, I felt very safe because I had God on my side. I'm not supposed to be here tonight.
But while Kamala says that people who believe in Jesus don't belong to her rallies, you have to remember that. That's as loud as it can be. In fact, a lot of people said that would be disqualifying for her. That would be a disqualification. In our movement, we love Christians, we welcome believers, and we embrace followers of Jesus. She's very destructive to religion. She's very destructive to Christianity and very destructive to evangelicals and to the Catholic Church. Ben, she is your worst nightmare. Much worse than Biden, and he wasn't so hot. But while Kamala says that people who believe in Jesus don't belong to her rallies, you have to remember that. That's as loud as it can be. In fact, a lot of people said that would be disqualifying for her. That would be a disqualification. In our movement, we love Christians, we welcome believers, and we embrace followers of Jesus.
As long as I am president, no one is going to stop you from practicing your faith. We want all children to have the opportunity to know the blessings of God.
And our country needs a savior right now, and our country has a savior. And that's not me. That's somebody much higher up than me. Much higher up. We just do what we have to do. But the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ forever changed the world. It's impossible to think of the life of our own country without the influence of his example and of his teachings. Our miraculous founding, overcoming civil war, and the United States ultimately becoming a truly great nation. And we're going to keep it that way. We're going to keep it that way. We're not going to let it go. I'm not going to let it go. But none of this could have ever happened without Jesus Christ and his followers and his church. None of it.
Sorry about that. But this is, after listening to that, though, you can see why people believe the way they do. If they're only listening to snippets, And they're not paying attention to, like, the laws he's doing and what he's doing and who he's associating with and what he's really doing legally. They're swept away by this propaganda and this image of the beast that's being put out there. This is all an image. This is all an image. This is why my book is so important, you know, Image of the Beast, because it shows you what really is the image of the beast, okay? So, I want to read you a scripture. This is actually in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And it says, if any man teaches otherwise, verse 3, and consents not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof comes envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw yourself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Bam! And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Money's not evil. It's the love of money that is evil. Okay? And which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereof thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that you keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, scrolling on down, charge them, verse 17, that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. They that do good, they that be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on an eternal life. So there you go, bride. This is my word for you this morning. Is the deception is definitely getting worse and flooding YouTube over there. Flooding, you know, the mainstream media with the false lies. And you can imagine if they're going to push this out there. This one church, this lady reported in, she may tell y'all about it this morning, I don't know, but she went to church on Sunday and it was a big celebration because Trump got it. So you can only imagine, you know, what is happening out there on a big scale. But, you know, if he goes in and it's all prosperity like he did the first 2 years of his first presidency, you can imagine all the people being mad at the watchmen and the people warning about, you know, the sudden destruction and all that stuff that's coming. And then he turns around and makes it look otherwise and makes it look like he's for the church, but really pushing everybody into the Noahide laws. That version of Christianity, the New Age version of Christianity, You know, it's not real Christianity, because here's the thing everybody has to remember. It all boils down to this one thing. Do you believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven? And that every person, I don't care your race, tribe, creed, color, what your history is or nothing, everybody is the same. You have to get saved. There's really only one way to heaven. Jesus is the door. He is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. There's no other way about it. And when he came, he did do away with the old covenant. The old covenant that said, you have to sacrifice an animal for sins. You have to go to the priest. You know, there is a mediator between you and God. You know, the old covenant, that is no longer there. That covenant is gone. That, if you believe that, it nullifies everything Jesus did. Because when Jesus died on the cross, the moment he took his last breath, an earthquake came. It ripped the veil that was between us and God, which is the priestly deal of what the Levites did for us. We are in Bible college, by the way, and I think I'm going to do it on my second month, which will be January, is going to be on the tabernacle. Oh, I'm so excited. Oh, I get so fired up over studying the tabernacle. That's going to be such a fascinating revelation. But anyway, okay, so going back over here. When Jesus died, see, all of that process of how to deal with sin, forgiveness, and restoration to God is no longer needed through animals, no longer needed through the shedding of animal blood, because Jesus is the animal. He is the lamb that was born in a manger in an animal house. He was a lamb. And then that poor little lamb had to be slain. That lamb was spotless without any wrinkle. He had no sin in his life. He was a pure vessel of honor to lay down his life as a lamb, to shed his blood that now covered every area of that altar. It is, wait till we do the tabernacle. You're just going to be in awe of the power of what that moment was when Jesus hung on that cross. He paid it all. No more needing animals, no more old covenant, no more separation between us and God. We are all now adopted in. That's what being grafted in is. It's not the way Judeo-Christians teach it. We are grafted in because now we're adopted, which means we have the same inheritance. You are just as good as the natural born kids. You are now adopted in. Okay. So that's the power of Jesus. All right. So that's all I have for you guys this morning. Now this morning, yesterday, by the way, thank you for letting me get off without opening up the prayer line, because that does make it another hour or two. Yesterday, I had to get that website done. Praise God, I got it done. I am going to put it in the chat room right now because I'd really like for you guys to go over there and look at it. Now, there is something I want to point out. Okay. When I came here to the farm before Dennis and I got together, I was looking at it because, you know, I was a single person and whatnot, and I already had a little shed. All I wanted was land so I could move on the land and start a life, you know. And so I was looking at this land, and I come down here, and the land was all just ate up with vines. It was just a forest, you know. And the guy told me, he said, ma'am, it does have a house on there, but nobody's been in it in 30 years. It's decrepit. You're going to have to tear it down. So I just bought it as land. So when I was standing there looking at the land, I was like, wow, this is so pretty. I wish I could see more, you know. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I'm going to give you the Garden of Eden. I was like, what? The Garden of Eden? You know? And so I go to town, and I get a phone call. And this woman says, I was in prayer today, and the Lord told me to tell you that he's going to give you the Garden of Eden. So I was like, I'm buying it, sight unseen. I called the guy and said, I want that land. I want lot 1 and 2, okay? All right, so I get the land, and then me and Dennis get together, and then we get married, you know, let's see, May, June, July, about 2 or 3 months later, we get married. And then, you know, we start the ministry, you know, with We Are the Bride Ministries that I've had, you know, since 2005. And now, in 2024, the Lord told me in September, you know, get out of the metaverse, and you're going to, he told me the other day on our 3-day fast that I am to shut down We Are the Bride Ministries and Treehouse Publishers and start a new one with my husband. And we are now birthing in a new ministry called Garden of Eden Ministries. And I was like, aw, that is so cute, because when I am out of the equation, he will be able to carry this on. The garden has always been with Dennis. You know, this farm here is called Garden of Eden Farm. And so now God is having me set all this up for Dennis, you know, the Garden of Eden Ministries. So the Bible college is for me to equip the people for the time that I am here. I am going to pour all I can into the people, you know, to help them. And then the morning prayer calls is going to be just like this. It's going to be a mix of everything. And then we still will have our Zoom on Thursday nights, which is kind of like a midweek church. Sunday morning, I loved it. We loved it, doing service at 7:30 in the morning. Everybody has the rest of their day. It ends at 9. And Dennis already has a word for this Sunday, by the way. And, you know, people can go visit local churches or, you know, have their day, whatever they need to be doing. Because we have church every day doing this on this prayer call, you know. So Sundays is at 7:30 on the prayer call like this. It'll be audio. And then Monday through Thursday is like this as well. And as you notice, you only have one phone number to call now. I paid for a membership, so we do not have to go through the code and all that. You just have one phone number, and we're good for a year. So I'm excited about it, because this is going to be our main way of communication, you know. And then, the only thing I'm hesitant about is on the website, you know, I posted Sunday's sermon, under sermons, you know, called the end time scenario that you're looking at. But the thing is it does talk about this agenda. But on these morning prayer calls, I would like to start posting those as well. But I think I am going to make those with a password and make those for the people, you know, that are in band, that are a part of this. Because I don't know if I want the world hearing all of this that we do every morning in our prayer times. You know, but I do want the audio available, you know, for people that are a part of the church family to be able to listen to any time of the day. So I'll post it in band, and then I'll post it on the website, you know, with the code. It'll be the same code, so you'll be able to, you know, I'll probably put it in a certain place on the website to where you can access it and stuff. So, anyways, I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording because basically this is all I have for you guys today. And then I will open up the prayer lines. And let me see if there's any. Tonight we have the news. It's at 5 o'clock. And then I guess basically that's it. Okay.